We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Are you looking forward to seeing the Chicago Bears' new $2 billion lakefront stadium plans to be unveiled at noon tomorrow? Are you a sucker for renderings and drawings of a new stadium design? What will we learn? How much public funding, taxpayer contribution the team is after?
Yeah, when we learn that, that is the important information. I am really looking forward to the renderings and the drawings and all of that stuff. I am a sucker for just, and you know, give me something like that. Let my mind kind of roam a little bit and imagine what it'll look like and how it'll be. I love that kind of thing. I don't know that that any stadium can live up to the way that I envision it in my mind. And, you know, it's super cool. I just think it's a really exciting idea to think about a $4 billion stadium on the lakefront and what that will do for Chicago, what that will do for the city, what that will do for our skyline. Always very important that that everything kind of fits into the way a city looks. So I'm really excited to get a look at the drawings. You know, listen, the nitty-gritty stuff is where this ends up going. You want to see the kind of stuff we were just talking about. You know, let's get down to the dollars and cents, and let's figure out how much in the hole this is going to put everybody so some people can make a lot of money. That's what all of this is about. It's about the team itself being able to bank. And, you know, and I don't have a problem. I've always felt that teams are a public trust, provided you're producing results on the field and all of that. People don't mind paying to go to games, paying their if you've got the money and you want to get a personal seat license and you're willing to chalk up all that money, that's your business. If there are businesses that are willing to kind of front the expense of those kind of tickets for their clients, that's what, you know, they do. I'm not going to have to worry about that, but I do find it fascinating. I couldn't afford to do something like that, so I wouldn't even contemplate it. But it's great to have friends who have tickets.
Well, I'll raise my hand as well, a sucker for renderings. I mean, those, the pictures, the videos, the 3D social media renderings they put out, it's really cool. But haven't we already seen like a redo of Soldier Field rendering, right?
We saw
that already, and it was spectacular. So I'm assuming it's going to be similar to that. But the difference here is that, you know, using the line from a famous movie, you know, if they build it, they will come, right? I mean, no matter where the Bears play football, it's going to sell out every week, no matter what. And there's a big difference between these two projects that you guys talked about in the first segment of the show. There's a big difference between the 78 and the Bears. I mean, the Bears and that piece of property on the lakefront do so much more for the city of Chicago than the 78's been sitting there vacant for a reason, right, for a long time. So I don't know that a $2 billion project on the 78 does anything except for the White Sox and then those fortunate enough to have the contract and work on building the actual project. But longevity, building something on the lakefront like this makes a lot of sense, I think, for the city and the state and everybody involved. Also, the Bears might be smarter than we think if you think about it a little bit. So they have the press conference on Wednesday. And then if it's not going the way being embraced by the public, guess what Thursday is? Thursday is the new team. Thursday is the new quarterback. Well, so you bury that news.
Yeah, I said it's equivalent of a Friday news dump, but we don't like Friday news dumps.
No.
I mean, it could be shrewd by them, perhaps, if it's not received well. You're right. but I don't think that makes you feel any better about the project.
Right, but no matter what, I guess my point is, no matter where the Bears play football, all this hand-wringing and arguing and stomping, wherever the Bears play, it's going to be sold out. We don't have to go. The NFL does a great job putting their product on television. No matter where they play football, and they better play, you know, I don't want them to move out of the state. Let's make that perfectly clear.
I don't think that's arguable, but I don't even know if that's the issue. Everybody knows that wherever they play, people will go. It's not about that. I think if you're talking about this project, Arlington Heights, is who's paying for it? Who's paying for it? You're shaking your head. Do you not care who pays for it?
To a certain extent, but at the end of the day, what's the option?
What's the option is
lose the team?
No, the option is that if you're presenting a lakefront project as they will tomorrow at noon, you have these grandiose plans, and it's going to be a great presentation with renderings, maybe even a video. Is Bill Curtis busy? Can he narrate? I think there's a lot of things that you're going to sell as ideal, but the price tag does matter because the price tag at Arlington Heights does not affect the public taxpayer in the city of Chicago the way that that project would,
right,
the way that that project should. You have the Bears, they're passing on an opportunity that they told us was worthwhile less than a year ago. They bought that land in Arlington Heights. They're pivoting away from that. They still own it. Why? They want to make as much money as possible. So
no,
I think,
they don't.
What do you mean, no?
This is a small-minded idea. If they were big thinkers, big business people, they would be straight to Arlington Heights. Okay, they'd be straight there and building that
stadium. I disagree totally. They're small-minded because they're letting the tax issue in Arlington Heights get in the way of the what was established as a primary goal was to build a stadium, own their own stadium, and make their own money. And they're letting these tax hurdles, these school districts, get in the way, and they think that's a sign of bigger problems ahead, and they're letting basically Kevin Warren take the lead here. And he's leading them right downtown. Great, ambitious, wonderful, grandiose. Show us how you're going to pay for it. That's what we want to see tomorrow, and that's what we're not going to see tomorrow.
That is the question.
Does the fact that there are only 58 underclassmen available for this week's draft speak to the proliferation of NIL money in college football? Is that why the NFL will see the lowest number of underclassmen in 13 years? Does that fact underscore a lack of depth in the NFL draft and therefore no need for the Bears to worry about getting back late-round picks?
I think one's interesting question. I don't think one is necessarily related to the other. There are fewer underclassmen in this year's draft. I wonder if more came out, if they would be the kind of player you'd want to draft on day two or three or not. This is not a very deep draft once you get beyond the first three rounds or so. Or so the experts say. I do think that you're seeing a couple things. You're seeing more college football players stay in college because they can make money. Maybe make more money than they ever would in the NFL in some cases, which is a good thing. They should. It's the empowerment of the student-athlete, and student-athlete is a term in quotes. So I think that's a good thing. The other thing is, if it is, you're seeing more and more players probably come to the NFL prepared. Because they're already professional athletes. We talked about Caleb Williams and the polish that he exudes. All these players, to a lesser degree, are more prepared for the professional aspect of getting drafted. What do you always worry about with NFL players? Time and money. They've never had that kind of time or this kind of money. Well, that's being disproven year after year. As we get more NIL players coming into the league, they know what to do with their money because they've made some. And they're better at managing their time. So, interesting point. I didn't realize it was 58 underclassmen, which has got to be as low as it has been in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears have gone out of their way to tell us how impressed they were with how Caleb Williams handled all that cash and bought gifts for his teammates, took his teammates out to dinner, paid it forward, if you will. Maybe a little bit of this is COVID still with the fifth year, getting that extra year of eligibility, guys hanging around, so guys not getting on the field sooner, right? And, of course, there's always been the argument in the NFL, right, that you had to be, 21 or you had to be a junior status in order to declare. It's fine. I don't want the Bears to have to recoup – the late round picks. It's a top heavy draft. Get three or four best guys you can and move along.
Yeah, it is the fewest picks they'd have in history. I mean, it's not many picks, four picks, but they did already use a bunch of them to get things going. 58 underclassmen is shocking when you think about how so many of those players are the first players taken. So many underclassmen are usually, really high going off the board. So it's an interesting year all the way around. I think that the proliferation of NAL, I saw a quote from The Flower, who said that there are guys that are making more money in college than they'll make in the league. And that blows your mind.
Almost every starting quarterback.
When you think about it. Yeah, no question. It's true. So I get it. I understand that finally things have loosened up in the college game and people feel better about it and they're willing to, and maybe instead of coming to the NFL, maybe move somewhere else and try to improve your stock. And there are a lot of kind of tweener-type players that can go to better situations, maybe better themselves for the next draft. Makes sense to me. In terms of the Bears, I agree with what you're saying, Dustin. I mean, they probably, if they want to tap into some of next year's capital to get some more picks in this year's draft, and again, I'm talking if you're later in the draft and you want to give up a sixth rounder next year to get into the seventh round because you really like a certain punter or something, whatever it might be, some specialist, then feel free. But for the most part, I want them to kind of not worry about recouping whatever draft picks they've used, because they've used them for a reason and they've justified it. And now the idea that you can't take the number 9 player who really should be like the number 6 player because you've got to drop down and pick about 15th so you can pick up more stuff. That would really annoy me. I kind of am hoping that is not the case, that they don't feel pressured to try to make up for some missing draft picks.
You can continue to talk about it, and you guys can continue to ask those questions, and I'll continue to answer it this way.
Was the White Sox promoting old friend Daddy Mendick the headline move among 5 roster moves on Monday for the White Sox, or was it bigger that Nick Nastrini and Lenin Sosa were demoted?
Oh, boy. There's not a lot of there. Danny Mendick coming up, I told you, I was like excited. Oh, Danny Mendick, yeah. I had seen his numbers. He was doing well in AAA. Danny Mendick, he was almost like a breakthrough guy before he hurt his knee. He can play. He is a legitimate Major League Baseball player, and they're bringing up a Major League Baseball player? Well, that's good. He also has a little power. I got excited at the idea of Danny Mendick joining the White Sox. That tells you where this team is at. I've heard of Danny Mendick. I've seen him play. I kind of like Danny Mendick. And sure enough, he got a couple hits. That was great. The bigger news, probably Nick Nastrini. It's a weird move, Nick Nastrini, because when you go down, I get it. They got Flexen. They're going to give him another start. But why not wait and see how Cannon does before you're – did Cannon move past him and his performance based on Nastrini's first game? The second game was no good. Neither was Cannon's. It's the problem now is Nastrini's down for 10 days. Is there something they're actually going to work on? Is there something they saw that they need to get done with him? Or are they just kind of, he's got some flexibility, so we just move him back down? There's no rhyme or reason to a thing that's done with this team. At least they played Corey Lee yesterday. That was the only, that was my only happy moment.
I think they're equal. So Mendick had hit 5 home runs, 5 games in a row. He'd hit a home run down in the minors. And Lenin Sosa, who should have been benched after that throw to home, but he wasn't, was sent down. And so it's kind of like a benching. So I think they're equal. I think it shows that if you're going to play without fundamentals, we're not putting up with it. And if he hit home runs and can produce a run down in the minor leagues, we're going to promote you for doing that. And that's what they should do. I don't understand the Nastrini move. And, you know, you and I talked about it, Mully, before the show started, and he's got options. I get all that. But, I mean, is he hurt? Is he ego bruised? I mean, once you're here, I think you learn more up here than you do down there. You would hope.
There's no reason for Nick Nastrini to go to Charlotte. There's no reason for Jonathan Cannon to follow him if they're tempted. There's no reason that Mike Clevenger is going to come here in a week and take away starts from guys who actually matter in your organization and guys who you may be able to count on once you return to respectability, assuming you have a plan to return to respectability. Why they sent him down after one bad start is another of the questions that are continued to mount when it's the White Sox. I don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Danny Mendick coming here, great. I mean, we can talk about his great bat at Charlotte. Danny Mendick? Okay.
I know.
I'll play along. Great job, Danny. 5 straight home runs. It's AAA. Your major league team would probably be, you know, second in the division.
I was genuinely excited. I mean, that's so stupid.
It's ridiculous, but it is the White Sox, and they are majoring in ridiculous this year. 8th shutout last night. 8 of them already. That is history-making. We're paying attention to them because they are just historically bad, and they are becoming farcical by the day.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I did not think you were going to close me out with that one. That's a great question.
We talked yesterday about whether the Cubs should make a move for White Sox closer Michael Kopech. Come get him, please. But what about making a move for Oakland's Mason Miller, who on Monday struck out Volpe, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge with fastballs hitting 103, 103, and 102 to secure an A's 2-0 win?
Yeah, I think he's a guy to keep on the radar. There's a lot of guys who you want to be on that radar. I think with closers especially, this is an interesting development and a name to watch. With closers, you kind of want to have the hot guy. And so it's April 23rd. My sense is that Jed Hoyer won't get serious about acquiring a closer for at least 2 months. They're going to let this play out. Albert Alzolay wants the ball back. He says he can do that job, and he's going to try to do it again. I think they'll give a couple guys maybe some opportunities there. Maybe they find one accidentally. Maybe they find one on purpose. I don't know if they'll find one at all. But if they trade for somebody, add Mason Miller to the list. It's a long list. There's got to be a long list. You've got to exhaust every avenue, every resource you have. Because if you're serious about contending, you're going to need a closer. You have a closer problem.
They have a closer problem. Part of the closer problem is Jed, Carter, and the highest paid manager of baseball not looking like they know how to manage or put together a bullpen or have a pregame meeting. Again, please, somebody, please explain why, after the guy blew a save, you would give him the ball for a 4-out save. He's not built for 4-out saves. He's barely built for 3-out saves, let alone a 4-out save. And great, he wants the ball again. He says all the right things. I appreciate that. You want a guy who says, give me the damn ball. I want to try it again. I'm built for this. Who's going to make a trade first? The A's, the White Sox, or the Marlins? And do the White Sox have anything that anybody wants?
Michael Kopech, didn't we propose a trade yesterday? Look, it's not yet time to be trading for people. And I think you do have to kind of go through all your options. But there's going to come a time, and you're going to have to make a deal. I really think that the answer to their closer problem is outside the team. I would like to see Neris do better and them give him a chance at that, but I don't know that that's the case. So I think that eventually, just kind of wrap your mind around the idea that if they want to get to where they're going, they've got to resolve that issue, and maybe the only way to do it is outside their team.
That's a fair question to ask.
That's the voice of Mark Florio. Plenty of questions to ask him at 8:44 when he joins Mully and Haw. Catch it on Twitch. Does the trade of the Jets quarterback Zach Wilson to the Broncos for a swap of late-round picks mean anything for the Thursday night's draft? In other words, do the Broncos still need a quarterback? Can you believe that four of the five quarterbacks from 2021 have been traded with the highest pick, a fourth-rounder from Dallas, for the services of Trey Lance?
Would never have guessed that Trey Lance got the most return, because his career arguably has been the worst of all those guys. Never really got off the ground, you know, never really did anything in San Francisco. And, you know, thank God for Mr. Irrelevant. I think that Justin Fields, if he ends up playing more, could end up being a fourth round pick, right? So, but it was technically a sixth-round pick, so it's hard to feel. They're all sixth-round picks, all those guys. You know, certainly they gave up a sixth for and it was a weird one. They traded a they gave a seventh, so they traded down like 40 spots or something to get rid of this guy. That's all they got. They got next to nothing. And, you know, we know that there's nothing coming for Mac Jones, and the same thing with Justin Fields. So it was a super weird draft in retrospect, and Trevor Lawrence stands alone. He's still a starting quarterback in the league. It's amazing how I just wonder if that puts any water on the idea that the Bears are about to get the quarterback. You know, we talked yesterday about him wanting to play 20 years. Let's hope so. Let's hope he lasts that long. Let's hope he's a 10-year guy. These quarterbacks, they get on the field and they're in bad situations and they don't have people taking care of them. It's a tough position.
Let's hope he's a second contract guy. Let's, chasing Tom Brady in 20 years, and let's get to a second contract. Let baby steps. Okay. Let's have small attainable goals and then bigger goals after that. A lot of this could be development versus talent. It very well could be. There could be that issue. Might be something to talk to Coach Wannstedt about when he's with you guys, 7:40 to 8:20. You know, Trey Lance, he might have a bigger role. Like, there's some real business issues going on with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Like, Dak Prescott might not be the quarterback of the Cowboys, and they might need Trey Lance. So, you know, the Cowboys, believe it or not, could be in play in this year's draft for a quarterback if they don't have any belief in Trey Lance. And I don't think the Broncos are done. I don't think this is the answer, but it gives them an opportunity to not have to go all in on the quarterback. And hey, if Sean Payton is so good at being a quarterback whisperer, then, okay, coach the guy up. And I'm sure a change of scenery can't hurt Zach Wilson at all.
Yeah, I don't know, though, if it's same was said about Mitch Trubisky and that didn't work out, and they were a similar type of draft guys in terms of where they went. The 2021 draft in terms of quarterbacks is evidence of all that is wrong with the NFL and the quarterback position and how people rush these guys onto the field before they're really ready for that. You know, Zach Wilson was a creation.
Yep.
Trey Lance was a project, a projection. Justin Fields was a square peg in a round hole, not maybe through any fault of his own, but he had a lot of help in looking out of place in the pocket in Chicago. And then Mac Jones was somebody whose intangibles were exaggerated because he was in a system and you wanted him to be the next big thing in Boston after Tom Brady left town. You can look at all of these examples and all of the pressures that existed to get these guys on the field sooner rather than later. And that's the problem. So it's a reminder. It's a cautionary tale. I don't think it applies in Chicago, but I think it applies to every quarterback taken after Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is the exception to the rule, not just because he's about to be the Bears quarterback, but because that is the case in this year's quarterback class. What happened in 2021 should be a cautionary tale to the team that drafts Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy. Don't rush them to the field, because you know what will happen if you do? 2021 all over again.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Have we talked enough about the MLB changing draft rules that means teams no longer are rewarded with top draft picks for ranking? In other words, a team like the Sox that is not part of the MLB revenue sharing will pick fifth this year, but can pick no higher than 10th in 2025. Can you believe there'll be no reward for what's shaping up as the worst season in franchise history?
Oh, it will be the worst season in franchise history by the time we get to October 1st. And I don't know if by May 1st we'll still be paying attention. But, yeah, this is a bad development in terms of if you were ever going to be this bad, you would want something for it. At least the Blackhawks got Connor Bedard. At least right. The Bulls got Derrick Rose. If you become part of a lottery even, that would be better than what this guarantees, which is nothing. Now, there's big differences in the way that the MLB draft produces maybe instant change or instant results in the other drafts, but still not a good development and no reward for all of the pain and agony that's ahead of us as we continue to, for some reason, to watch this team on the south side.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm not going to make it up like I understand it. Somebody's going to have to explain it to me. I don't know, like, how are they already slotted to pick fifth this year because of last year's results? Okay, so we've got that. And no higher than 10th in 2025.
Because they pick in the top 10, they can't pick in the top 10 again next year.
The NHL has done the same thing, right? The NHL, you can only have the first pick 2 years in a row, and after that, isn't that right, David? They've got a sliding scale also where you can't tank.
This is anti-tanking.
Yeah. The NHL is doing the same thing. The difference is in baseball, it usually takes more time. I mean, the top 10 picks in Major League Baseball's draft, they're not like playing Major League Baseball the next year. Maybe you get a pitcher who comes in as a reliever or something, gets called up quick.
So, yeah.
See Garrett Crochet.
If you're paying the luxury tax, then if the Sox are paying the luxury tax and they have this season, then they will be rewarded with, they could get it, but the number one pick, because they're trying to win. They're trying to keep teams from purposely losing. I guess.
Then I'm all for that rule.
And I don't have a problem with that idea.
The spirit is good. The results are bad.
Yeah. But from a Sox perspective, they gain nothing by this. You see what I'm saying? Like, even if they are losing on purpose, and I'm not sure they are, they're just trying to save money and they've gutted the whole organization and they hired the wrong guy, whatever way you want to put it. Whatever they're doing, there's no reward for it. So this of all the years to have the worst season in your history, you get nothing in return. You don't get a bump with a good player coming in. I mean, if you can pick well, the 10th pick in a draft can be a great player. But can they pick well? We haven't seen it yet. So I think it just tells you, it tells you one thing, that this is not on purpose. They're just this inept.
Which is not exactly comforting.
No, it's a very dark reality that we're learning here.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.